Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in.
So what we're all about here on the Optimal Body Podcast is helping you find what optimal means in your own body. And now we have the perfect little therapy kit to help you do that in home. If you want to go get the Optimal Body Therapy Kit, go use the link down in the show notes and use Optimal 10, and you'll have all of the bands, jump ropes, sliders that you need to do your exercise in home. Get those activations, do any of those exercises that you might see Jen doing on her Instagram pages to help find optimal in your own body. Make sure you use code OPTIMAL10 to get a 10% discount. And if you want a special 25% discount, we will offer that to anybody who's willing to go leave us a rating or a review on your favorite podcasting app. Then you can just reach out to us at jen@docjenfit.com. Let us know that you left the review and we'll get you a 25% discount code for that. Now let's head into the podcast on sciatica.
So when talking about sciatica, there's three main factors that we really think are so important to keep in mind because it's really going to help you along this healing journey. And we've had many experiences with people who have been through sciatica. So we just want to kind of cover these three areas.
So three, calm it down, find safety in the system. And then once you've found that, start building movement patterns and strength and resilience in the system.
Perfect. All right. Podcast is done. Yeah. Enjoy.
And we will see you next time on the Optimal Body Podcast.
Just kidding. So really, when we're talking into these things, it's such a common occurrence, right, to have sciatica. Yeah. And actually, when we were going through the pandemic, we had a friend of ours who lived in the same apartment complex as us go through a really bad spout of it. Mm-hmm. And it was going all the way down to his foot.
Yeah, I mean, he had pretty bad symptoms, just kept seeming like he wasn't going to get out of this cycle. And we're going to talk about this a little bit, but the stress factor is huge. And not being able to get that stress and inflammation out of your body is something that can just continue to perpetuate that cycle of, I'm never going to get rid of this. I'm never going to feel better.
Exactly. And I know that happens for a lot of people. And there's always this, what do I do? Oh my gosh, it's just a continual thing for a lot of people. Like we know for some of our family members, like it's a recurrent occurrence that actually continues to happen. So we're going to talk through some of the techniques that we've used with our friends and family members and obviously our clients as well. But what we really have done to kind of help them to the other side. And we'll get into that later. But let's just review real quickly again, what is sciatica?
Yeah, we talk about this a bit more in episode 68, I believe. So do a much deeper dive on what sciatica is, but sciatica, it's the sciatic nerve is the name for this big nerve in the body that exits right in our low back and goes all the way through our thigh, our calf, into our foot, and has all these different branches. So it is responsible for movement and sensation and everything down all the way to our toes.
Yeah. And anywhere along the line can cause this radiating symptom down the sciatic nerve, causing sciatica, right? So it can be from the low back, normally like a disc bulge, if that disc is kind of pushing into that nerve, causing that sensitivity, that sensation, the nerve gets angry, right? Or it could be from tight muscles somewhere along the line. That's when we talk about piriformis syndrome, which we've also done a podcast on. That's when we talk about, you know, tightening or compression anywhere along the nerve that makes it angry and loosen and lessens its ability to move well.
And a lot of people will associate that true sciatica, or what we generally think of with sciatica, as something happening up in the back with a disc herniation, a bulge, something happening to that nerve right as it's exiting the back, where then we can get symptoms anywhere along the leg. We might just refer to the other things as sciatic type symptoms,
right?
That the sciatic nerve is more angry down in my calf because it's getting entrapped or something in my knee or in my hamstring area.
And causing that radiating pain. Yeah. But we can also look at like narrowing of the spine, right? So what's commonly known as stenosis, but this is a very common occurrence as we age. It is actually normal. So not bad, but it can cause some angry nerve type symptoms causing that sciatica. Same with trauma, an accident, a growth or a mass within the area. So anything that kind of impedes that movement, touches that nerve, causes that increased sensitivity, and causes those radiating symptoms down the leg.
Yeah. So now we have the sciatic pain, or if someone's dealing with the sciatic pain, what do we do?
Mm-hmm.
The first step in hour three is calm it down. Calm that sucker down. And how do we get a nerve to calm down? Multiple different things, right? One of our favorite things that we generally give a lot of people is, of course, dealing with the breath.
Whoa, surprise.
Yeah. And one of our favorite tools called the Corgis ball, right? And so what we do with this Corgis ball, it's just kind of a slightly deflated ball. You might think seeing it, oh, we need to pump that thing up a little bit more, but that's on purpose. And you lay actually face down with that thing right in your gut. And you're going to, as you breathe, try and allow your stomach to push down into that ball, and then you'll exhale and let that ball push right back into you in the stomach.
Yeah, essentially, we're trying to get your body to completely relax. And that ball, especially because we love the Corgis ball, especially because of the material that it is. It's very grippy. It's not too large and it's not too small. Like if on a regular ball, like a lacrosse ball, a tennis ball, something, it's too small to go into this gut area.
The Goldilocks of balls.
And if it's just like a huge foam roller, it's usually too hard, too big. So using this Corgis ball is really nice to get into that gut area. And it just helps to kind of massage, thinking of our vagus nerve, which helps us in getting back to that parasympathetic system, which is helping to reduce that inflammation and that stress known as our rest, relax, digest system.
Mm-hmm. So it's something that can really flip our nervous system. Mm-hmm. And generally when we're feeling this nerve pain can be pretty intense, stabby, sharp, stinging, burning, radiating, all those words that we don't want to use when we're describing our pain. That's kind of what you might feel with sciatica. When we use this ball, it helps us flip our mind, almost distract us in a way from that pain, but really actually shift our nervous system into a more restful, relaxing place.
Yeah. So that's one of the first places that we love to take people. And then as they start to feel that calming, that release of tension through the entire body, you know, then we like to say, okay, let's get that nerve moving a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And that's typically something that we don't think about, is that the nerve can become inflamed and it loses its ability to move through the tissue well. And so that's where it can get stuck somewhere along the line, cause some pulling, tension, burning sensations that you might feel. So actually, if we think about how the nerve comes out through the back, there's always going to be two sections of the nerve coming from that spine. So if it's super inflamed, I actually like to start some of these, you know, like active hamstring stretch or flossing type exercises on the opposite side that's not involved. And mm-hmm. we'll show some demonstrations, but think of like laying on your back, kind of grabbing the back of your leg that's vertical to the ceiling, and then just allowing the leg to slowly start to straighten up and come down. And you'd want to point your toe up to the ceiling and then relax the foot when we're thinking of flossing. And then when we're thinking of tensioning and putting some tension on that nerve, once you can tolerate flossing, that's when we can start to pull the toe back toward the face and let it relax. This isn't holding. This is really just trying to get that nerve more used to moving through the tension or moving through the tissue and get it more active a little bit better.
Yeah. And some people like to do this sitting. You know, you can do it when you're sitting at the edge of the table or somewhere that your legs can kind of dangle, because then you can kind of control. Also, if you're bending forward while you're doing it, you might even feel a little more intensity into that sciatic nerve. So there's different ways to do it, laying down versus sitting, just starting to get some more tension and awareness into that sciatic nerve after it's gone through a bit of trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? And another thing that we like to show people to help desensitize, and this is something you might need to tag in a friend, a partner, somebody who you live with, or somebody who's willing to do you a favor, grab them and a butter knife or even a spatula or something with a handle that might have a little bit of an edge to it. So generally we tell people to use the backside of a butter knife or
not
sometimes
the front side.
Yeah, it's not, but it's a butter knife, right? Or even the handle, right?
Yeah.
If the backside of a butter knife feels like it has too much of an edge, and what we're going to do is kind of use it to scrape along that whole path where you might be feeling symptoms. And what this does is it just gives our skin almost something to feel and like, ooh, I know what that should feel like. a butter knife, right? A nice little brush, a nice little scrape. And it kind of helps to desensitize that area. It might help if you even use a little coconut oil or something to just give it a little bit more lubrication while you're doing it.
Yeah, we're just helping the system to try to feel a little decreased tension. And we're also, when we do that, we bring some fluid up to the surface of the body. So it can help in feeling that release of tension, pain, tightness in that nerve. And I've had, you know, I've had people who have even like a contracted foot and just doing that light scraping. She had her partner start doing it every night to her. And just doing that light scraping every day helped the foot to just relax. So it wasn't like in a contracted state from mm-hmm. that nerve having so much tension. So it just is a great feedback for the brain and the body. And that said, we're not trying to break up any scar tissue or break up any mm-hmm. crazy things. So don't do it to the point where you're bruising or you're trying to get that redness. That's not the intention here. The intention is light scraping for the sensation factor.
Yeah, just know how your body's going to react to it. You know, whatever you need to feel a good reaction to be able to relax, not feel like you're putting yourself more on guard. And so those are three techniques we love to give people. There's many more that you could use, tons more. But once you've kind of gotten that system to desensitize and calm down a little bit, then how do we create safety? How do we make this system feel safe again to even start thinking about more complex movements, right? And that all starts with the abdominal canister. And how do we create a solid pillar for our body to start moving from?
Yeah. And so that's where we talk about this inner core. Like a lot of people like to talk about the glutes and bridges and core exercises. But unless we have that inner part of the core, so that we're talking about the diaphragm, the pelvic floor, that transverse abdominis in the back, all working together, the multifidi, so they're really small kind of back muscles. When we have that all kind of the pressure of just breathing and relaxing and getting that core to kind of pump and all work as one, when we can get that core, inner core understanding, then we can start to build on that outer core of the glutes, the obliques, the shoulder blades, everything else that encompasses the core and really build that resiliency, which is the last one. So we do this a lot, and I talk about it like crazy in the Optimal Body membership, actually, where we go into really those core foundational understandings of what this means and how this feels.
Yeah. And I think that some people might misconstrue the point here because they'll say, oh, I've got a strong core. Like I have a lot of strength in my core, which some people may have strength. You know, a lot of the people that we work with, you know, some have been professional baseball players, very, you know, able and capable athletes. And yes, they have strength in their core, but a lot of it is the coordination of that and making sure you're actually mm-hmm. using that to control some of those movements. Like you can have a strong core, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily moving it when you're swinging a golf club. And then all of a sudden you swing the golf club and go to an extreme range without controlling it. And that might be what sets off your symptoms. That's just an example I thought of because we have a family member who has been dealing with that a little bit. So how do we do this? One of our favorite things is lay on the back and start with your breath. Take a deep breath in. And as you exhale, try and feel that low rib cage come down towards your pelvis or towards your hip bones. How do we use our breath to kind of...
Without moving that and rounding that spine.
Right. Get that rib cage to come down and then keep it there, but continue breathing. Mm-hmm. Right. Because then that's going to teach us, oh, wow, this is what it feels to have more tension in my deep core muscles while I'm still breathing.
Yeah. And then at the same time, we want to get complex, right? We want to get into that pelvic floor region too. Everyone has a pelvic floor. So I'll just give my two favorite cues. As you breathe out and you feel that rib cage just start to drop, which for some people it might not be very much because again, you don't want to round in that chest. So it might just be a subtle drop of that rib cage. But as you're breathing out, you actually want to think of that pelvic floor lifting up. So they're coming toward each other. And what that means is like for a woman, you're thinking, or for a female, you're thinking, can I take a blueberry and pull it up and in? So it's not just a squeezing, it's not just a compression, but it's a lift. It's like an elevator lift up toward the belly button. And for a male, the cue is usually you're walking into really cold water and things are pulling up and in. So that is, it's similar cueing, and it's as, with that breath out and you're just thinking, I don't like the cue, push the spine into the ground. Because again, that cue's rounding. and pelvis movement. So we're trying not to move the back, the pelvis at all. We're just trying to get this canister to start to register together. So it's going to be very slight movement, subtle movement. It doesn't have to be a max contraction of the pelvic floor and the rib cage. You know, it's just this subtle like dropping of that rib cage, lifting of that pelvic floor, dropping of that belly region. And once we can get that kind of working together, then we can start to see, can I slide one heel out? Can I drop one knee out to the side laying on my back without my hips moving at all?
Yeah, without completely losing that core control and stability that we're just starting to find. Like it, this is all about starting to program that in, because clearly we may not have been doing something as optimally as we could have, you know, before. So how do we start to program in some of that core stability while we move our limbs, right? I mean, that's what we do. Walk, we reach for something, we pick something up. So how can we become more and more aware of that core, which breathing while we do that, every time we breathe, we're kind of subconsciously typing something into our system. So if we're learning to breathe as we have this stability, it's a great way to start to type it into more of an automatic response for our body to start doing. And then we even start to work into bridges. So as we have that same core stability that Jen was just talking about, how do we start to squeeze our bottom, maybe slightly tuck that tailbone and come up into a bridge? Again, without feeling like we're losing any of that stuff that we had just set.
Yeah, and without feeling like you're going to be increasing symptoms. Like if any of this stuff we're talking about is increasing symptoms, then you want to back off of it. You're maybe not ready. And what's cool too is that you could just test this inner core. Like if you're in the car listening, you can literally do this sitting. So take a deep breath in, take a deep breath out. Think about that rib cage dropping and pelvic floor lifting. Like I just did this right here talking to you, and now I'm holding my core canister and I literally didn't move my body. So it's barely something that you see, but it's starting to get that awareness. And at first it might feel like crazy, you don't feel anything, but once you start to build that, then that's when we start to go into phase three of really building that resilience within those movement patterns and starting to do things with that understanding of that basic inner core through deadlifts and squats and lunges, and then getting that spine to move as well.
Yeah, and that's where I usually like to start with things that are a little less complex and have some function to them, like carrying something.
Yeah.
Right? How do I put a weight in one hand? And this is a great thing to try. Have like a 10-pound weight or 8-pound weight, whatever, in one hand, and just try to statically or standing still, just march your legs up and down while we're still, again, paying attention to everything that we had been. And no, we don't want to move like a robot. We don't want you to feel like you're just standing there like a stick or needing to walk around like that all day long. But when we're practicing it in this controlled environment, that's the time when you should be really honed in on it. Because then as soon as you go out into the world in a really distracting environment, that's when we start to forget to pay attention to it, right? So we need to be a little more honed in on it and focusing, okay, very stable in my core, holding that weight, marching legs up and down, but not letting my hips or torso go all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And then that's when we do want to start training in not only that stability, but that controlled rotation and movement. We do not want to be afraid to extend the spine, to round the spine, to twist the spine, right? That's functional. We're going to be doing it all day long. So some ways that I like to just start with, you know, some extension even is laying on your stomach and just starting to lift from the shoulder blade area and then slowly using your hands to press up toward that lower back. Because a lot of times when people just push up, you know, it's almost like one segment just lifting up and lifting down rather than extending slowly through every part of the spine. And then eventually like getting into regular cat-cows where we can feel the entire spine or even move one vertebrae at a time as you kind of articulate the spine into flexion and articulate into extension. And we'll show this on YouTube to really understand what that means. But just starting to have the ability to move one vertebrae at a time and feel that flexion, extension, and rotation in the spine builds that resiliency.
Another great thing that can work rotation, also work what we call anti-rotation or working against something that wants to rotate the body, is a Palloff press or a Palloff press, where you're kind of holding a band, or some people do this at cable machines, out in front of you and kind of sitting back into a little bit of a squat and avoiding a rotation. And then once you get a little bit used to that, you can rotate with it a little bit and kind of rotate against some resistance. And that would be something that would help you progress into doing something like a medicine ball throw against a wall mm-hmm. and feel comfortable doing that again. Like, okay, I'm learning this controlled mobility through this range against resistance. And then you'll eventually start to feel comfortable throwing something at like your max intensity against the wall.
Yeah. So calm it down. You know, whatever factors you need to kind of reduce that inflammation, think about your entire life factors, right? What can you do to reduce inflammation? Start to build that inner core canister mm-hmm. and then start to build the strength and don't be afraid to move. Like, we got to build that resiliency.
Thanks for joining us for another PT Pearl on sciatica. We're really going to try bringing you some episodes like this that give you those actionable items and give you some pointers on what you can actually do. If you were wondering a little bit more, oh, I don't exactly know what they were explaining, go check out the YouTube that's associated with this episode on our YouTube channel. You'll be able to see the visual a little bit more of what we're trying to talk about. Also, if you know somebody who might benefit from this, please share it to them. We would love to get this information in more people's hands. We're always looking for your recommendations on future PT Pearl topics. If you really would like to support the podcast, please go check out the Optimal Body To Go kit on Amazon. You can just find that by searching portable home therapy equipment and finding the kit. It's a great kit that includes all of the tools that Jen and I will use with clients, patients, our family to help them get out of their pains. And of course, we will see you on future episodes of the Optimal Body Podcast.